This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and in June, it is easy to think about food being readily available. We can walk out to any garden nearby and even see some fruit starting to come in on the trees, but access to food, and especially healthy food, is not always so obvious. And we are going to have a conversation with Megan Dieterich. She is the director of the Family Nutrition Program, available through NDSU's Extension Service, as part of our ongoing monthly conversation about the state of hunger in North Dakota. We're doing this in conjunction with Hunger Free ND. Megan, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Ashley.
What is the Family Nutrition Program?
The Family Nutrition Program is, and it's called the Family Nutrition Program in North Dakota, but it is actually SNAP Education. So okay. SNAP is a Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, commonly known as food stamps. It's been SNAP for quite some time. But we are the education arm of SNAP. NDSU Extension is the implementing agency, and the funding comes through the USDA to the SNAP unit at the Department of Human Services.
And when you say the education arm, what do you mean?
So through SNAP Education, we have a variety of education and outreach activities that we do. We take a multifaceted approach because we really do think improving food access and helping families change their behaviors so they're eating more healthfully and being more active, it's not just about the direct education, which is something we definitely do. And, you know, I think a lot of people, when they think of extension, think about a lot of that traditional classroom, you know, the lessons and activities in the classrooms and at other sites. However, we also take a complementary approach to healthy eating and food access, and that's something we call policy, systems, and environmental change approaches, or PSEs. I see people's eyes glaze over when I start to talk about PSEs. So there's always a few ways to talk about it. I think the best way is through kind of a common phrase, which is we help make the healthy choice the easy choice. Mm. And then also through talking about our combined effort, we work a lot in the schools. And so, you know, with the youth, we do a lot of cooking skills and teach about fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they're in the classrooms and learning about fruits and vegetables and getting excited about it and maybe, tasting some fruits and vegetables and doing a cooking activity. And then if they go into their cafeteria and they don't have options to, you know, the fruit and vegetables don't look great. They're not really being encouraged to take those fruits and vegetables. They're really less inclined to practice those behaviors that we're trying to teach them in the classroom. So, you know, together with Department of Public Instruction and other partners and definitely these really dedicated food service staff, you know, we've started to look at the food environment in schools and try to make improvements. And, you know, it's things as small as putting baskets of fruit out, you know, because those are some of the kind of nudging strategies that are used, you know, even in restaurants and stores, you know, to make it more palatable. And then to, you know, doing school gardens and some of those other activities.
Well, there's so much psychology behind what we eat and when. And oftentimes it's used against us. Bars will put out salty food because they know we're going to snack on it. And then it makes us thirsty and we want to drink more beer. But we also know that cutting up fruit and vegetables leads to a massive increase in consumption of fruit and vegetables.
Right, exactly. I'm so glad you know that. Yes, that is, and you know, and there's so much research behind that. And what the intervention we do is called the Smarter Lunchrooms Movement, and there's, you know, been a lot of studies that support that. But what we say, we also work with our retailers, some of our smaller retailers who accept SNAP, to do some of this same work. And we say, you know, these food companies, they have people on staff to do this. It's called behavioral economics, to do that. So, you know, I mean, I have a three-year-old, and I see even all the foods that are targeted towards him, and it's not the healthier foods. I mean, fruits and vegetables don't necessarily have, like, the bright colors. So really, it's taking some of those things that we've learned from industry and using those strategies to promote and to nudge those healthier choices.
And is it primarily with children?
So we are three kind of targets for the PSC work that we do through NDSU Extension and the Family Nutrition Program are food pantries. in other food assistance sites, SNAP retailers, and schools. Schools are our largest. Really, we've been doing a lot of work in the schools for a long time. They're so happy to have us come in. The direct education is much easier because, you know, the kids are there and the teachers are happy to have us come in and talk to the kids about, you know, being healthy and doing some of that health education. So the schools is probably the schools are where we do the most POCs right now through the Family Nutrition Program. And it's not just us doing it. It's other, like I said, there's, you know, food service directors who have done this training and who are trying to do this in their school. Department of Public Instruction is really on board with this. So we can't do this work without all of our partners. So I don't want to make it seem like Extension is doing all this work, but since Extension since we are embedded in communities across the state and in all of the counties, it's nice to have that Extension partner who, you know, has that connection to the research and the science on campus and to be able to use some of these strategies that we know work to promote the healthier foods. School gardens are also huge. And again, too, because we have the Extension Master Gardener Program and the Junior Master Gardener Program, and we have horticultural specialists and really that connection to ag and the horticulture through Extension, it's just a natural thing that we're also doing school gardens.
So are the kids out there actually doing the gardening?
Right. The kids are out there actually doing the gardening. Obviously, in North Dakota, it gets a little tricky because our growing season is usually during
the
summer. But we work with summer programs. We do really exciting summer cooking camps with kids. And so a lot of the kids during summer aren't, you know, they have to be in camps or have to be in some sort of school program or summer school. And so, you know, we work with some of those youth. And we also work with community members because the only reason we can make these gardens successful is to build in kind of some sustainability plans. So it's not just one volunteer who's out there weeding day in, day out, and then, you know, they leave town or something happens that they can no longer do that. So it really takes a village.
Well, let's talk about that ebb and flow of need. Are you seeing families who are benefiting more from SNAP benefits during the winter when it's harder to have fresh food in your garden, or during the summer when there's not that school food option? Or is it what's the ebb and flow?
That's a really great question. And I think it's obviously different for every family, but we see an increase in child hunger, I think, during the summer because they don't have, you know, I mean, some youth get school, you know, two-thirds or more of their food from their school during the school year. And we do, the schools we work with are schools that where 50% or more of the students are receiving free or reduced price meals. So, and it's actually a lot of schools. Here in the Fargo, West Fargo area, I think we have 8 fully eligible schools. So, I mean, there's a lot of schools or close to fully eligible schools. So they're at that 50% threshold. So I think that's something in North Dakota people don't always realize, that there is so much.
What is the state of the need?
Last year, I think there was about 80,000 people statewide. I think it's a little less, like 79-something, but recipients of SNAP last year. And of that 80,000, 45% are youth and, you know, 18 and under, and then 12% are seniors. So, you know, we have a large population of youth who are SNAP recipients and benefiting from SNAP, and if you look at the food pantry data, it tracks very similarly, where, you know, almost half of the recipients of food pantry services are children, and I think it's similar, you know, with seniors too. So really, that's a large swath of the population receiving that type of food assistance are youth and seniors.
What are some of the more common misconceptions still out there about SNAP benefits and recipients?
One of the ones there's that idea that SNAP recipients don't work. 42% of the households in North Dakota have earned income, and they do also have employment and training requirements. If they are, you know, if they are not working, they have to, you know, if they're able-bodied without dependents, do have to be doing something to keep receiving their benefits. Another thing is that the benefits are just copious, like, oh, they get all this money to buy fruits, to buy food. And that's not true. It really does amount to about $4 a day per recipient, which there is something, it's like the SNAP challenge that you can do, mm-hmm. where you try to live on $4 a day of food. And mm-hmm. I've done it. It's not easy. And, right. I have my degree in food and nutrition. So mm-hmm. It's a big challenge. I think the other misconception is that people who receive SNAP are others. They're not us. We're not encountering them day to day, but mm-hmm. it's quite possible, they're the person checking you out at the grocery store. They're the parents of your child's good friend at school. There's a lot of hidden poverty in North Dakota, and I think part of that's that the pride thing. It's just, to be unseen is really kind of, I think, much more common for those in poverty in North Dakota. And a lot of people are one medical emergency or one, job loss away from needing SNAP. It's a safety net. Mm-hmm. And in the majority of people receiving SNAP are off it within a year in North Dakota.
So it's more of an acute need than
yes,
a chronic
need. Yes, exactly.
Okay. SNAP benefits end up in many a politician's crosshairs, and they're a huge factor in that behemoth omnibus spending bill that is the farm bill. How are you as a SNAP educator feeling about the state of SNAP benefits right now? Are we in a period of stability, difficulty?
So both SNAP and SNAP education are authorized through the Farm Bill, mm-hmm. which just passed last year. So usually, then there's that 5 years. But there are other regulations that can change, who's getting SNAP and change some of those requirements, make it a little bit harder for people to receive SNAP. And, the employment and training, that's an important aspect of SNAP, and that's something that the SNAP unit at DHS works really hard on. However, I think even still in rural areas, there's not as much access to those employment and training opportunities. Mm-hmm. So again, it's kind of leaving some of the rural poor behind because they don't necessarily, it's not as easy for them to meet that employment and training requirement. So, as we up those requirements, it just adds more and more barriers to a population that already has a lot of barriers. And sure, I'm sure there's some people who, a small percentage of people who don't want to work, but that's not the majority. Most people, again, you don't get that much from SNAP, and you can only buy food. You can't buy other things that, you might need for your household on SNAP. So it's kind of silly to think that making it harder and harder for people to eat and eat well and feed their families is going to somehow make for a more productive society. I mean, if people are going to be a productive working person and kids are going to be, successful in school, they have to be fed.
What is your ultimate goal as director of the Family Nutrition Program?
So the Family Nutrition Program, Extension is in every county, but we, because of our funding, we're in 19 counties across the state. However, in those 19 counties, 86% of our SNAP population lives in those 19 counties. So we serve all four of our tribal nations. Obviously we're in all the urban areas because that's where more of our SNAP population is concentrated, but we also do serve some of our more rural counties. In addition, because with Extension, we have what we call family community wellness agents. So they're doing some similar nutrition ed and outreach that we do. They're reaching others, just a broader population, but they're still reaching our low-income targeted population. So I think my goal is to, really continue this education and outreach. Just to help a population that already might be struggling in some other ways, empower them with, some of the skills, like the cooking skills and, things they can do to save money at the grocery store and things they can do to improve their health and feel more power and control over over those aspects of their lives and do things like learn skills to help and improve their families and then also improve the environments they're living mm-hmm. in. So it's easier for them to do those things.
Well, and going alongside those cooking skills, like you can go into a school classroom or a church basement and have a nice kitchen and learn how to cook. And then you go home and you don't have that same equipment.
Exactly. And so we have lessons where we talk about cooking with microwaves.
Okay.
And so all of our recipes, all of our cooking activities, we really do keep that in mind. One of the nice things about our programs is through our federal funding, we can provide reinforcement. So we do sometimes, so we'll do a cooking class and then they can go home with like a colander or a can opener, things that we might take for granted with a fully stocked kitchen, but they, they might not have. And
yeah.
kids love the cooking activities. And we found, and I don't think that's just with the audience we serve, but we found a lot of kids are actually doing some of the cooking for younger siblings. And so it's really nice, to give them that responsibility and to teach them how to make easy, healthful things at home. And then they get their little cooking kits and can go home and do that. So we do really develop our lessons and interventions with the understanding not everyone does have a full kitchen and maybe it's a microwave and maybe it's a hot plate. And we do our, again, we develop. Another thing that's really, back to our partners are so important. I recently did my favorite thing to do is site visits. I sit in my office on campus a lot and write reports and write grants and sit in meetings and all that, right? But going out to do site visits and seeing my team in action is my favorite thing. And I was recently at a lesson that was done at the Hope Pantry up in Grand Forks. Mm-hmm. And the pantry actually was able to purchase slow cookers. So that's not something we can do with our funding because we have limits in what we can provide. But so, that was kind of the end of a series of classes on cooking and saving money at the grocery store. So participants who had gone through the classes got to go home with a slow cooker. So that's another thing that we've been really fortunate to have partners who will provide things like slow cookers, which really are time savers and we found that our audience really, really appreciates having on hand. So.
And a lot of times food is healthier when it's cooked slowly.
Right.
Yeah.
And it saves time. Just throw it, in the morning, throw it in.
Megan Diederich is the director of the Family Nutrition Program through NDSU's Extension Service. Megan, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Ashley.
We are having monthly discussions about the state of hunger in North Dakota in collaboration with Hunger Free ND. There is a podcast page on our website. You can go to prairiepublic.org/programs/hungerfreend. And our July discussion will be on senior meal programs.